Men,
I guess. But it never really felt like they meant me harm, not really. And that's why the main guy's attention bothered me. You know, I'm the first to admit I'll dive into a battle of wills, but for him, it was more than that. I couldn't gauge him, couldn't figure out his intentions, and that made him more dangerous.
It bothers you that you backed down? Again indignant, she asked.
Who backed down? I bided my time wisely, and at the first opportunity I made a weapon.
Under her breath, she muttered,
No one is getting me naked without my explicit permission.
So damn fearless. It was a serious discussion, and still the corner of his mouth twitched into a near smile. You were as prepared as anyone could be. He didn't stop himself from kissing her again, softer this time. For the record, Sahara, you impressed the hell out of me. She tried to lean in for yet another kiss, but they both knew where that would lead. He controlled himself and her, which suited him, but was something she disliked. Getting her back on track, he asked,
So the man who threatened you is the same one who carried you?
Yes, he didn't let anyone else touch me at all. He barely allowed them to look at me. While we were still in the van, he'd tied my hands, not very well, but I didn't think it'd be prudent to pull my hands free right in front of him. That would have just gotten me tied more tightly, and who needs that?
Smart, he said, to cover the burgeoning rage. If Sahara hadn't been so savvy, if she'd been more intimidated, what might have happened to her? For all her brass, she was a soft, very feminine woman. The thought of anyone handling her roughly, tying her, threatening her, burned like acid in his blood.
Having my hands tied made it difficult to stand up once we needed to leave the van, especially in the heels I favor. So he dragged me on my behind to the doors, got out and hefted me over his shoulder.
Like I did. She cast him a disgruntled frown.
Well, not as gently.
I'm sorry. For both times. Her hand went over his shoulder to his nape, and her fingers started a slow tease over his fevered skin.
It was necessary when you did it, but if I ever see him again, I'll make him sorry.
Yeah? Her words were a distinct contrast to her touch. What will you do? She opened her mouth, then suddenly sniffed the air and scrambled off his lap.
I have to turn the chicken, and in 10 minutes it'll be time to eat.
Another avoidance? Bran didn't know if it was because she couldn't think of anything dire enough, or because she already knew what she'd do and she didn't want to shock him. With Sahara, it was probably the latter. As the night wore down, Sahara wasn't sure what to do. So far, none of her efforts had moved Bran. It was like smacking her head against a brick wall, unproductive and painful. He'd enjoyed her dinner, giving her a lot of praise and eating every last bite.
Another cookie?
She asked, sipping her coffee. Two's plenty for me. You made them yourself?
Yes.
You're an amazing cook. He'd already said that a few times.
Why do I get the feeling you're shocked?
He smiled lazily and shrugged. You said it yourself that you're a business shark. Seems like overkill to be Susie Homemaker, too. That made her laugh.
I'm not. I mean, I could be.
She was pretty sure she could do anything she set her mind to. And if she did it, she'd damn straight do it top-notch.
I've enjoyed cooking, but cleaning, not so much.
He looked around again. I guess you have a crew who keeps this place in order? As he said it, he stood and headed to the sink with his dishes.
What are you doing?
My share of the cleanup.
So gallant.
She popped the last bit of the cookie into her mouth, then pitched in. Anything was better than calling it a night. As they worked, she deliberately brushed against him. He acknowledged her efforts with a satisfied and very male smile, but nothing more. She could probably strip naked and he wouldn't give in. She wiped off the table while he dried the baking dish that couldn't go in the dishwasher. Any second now he'd walk out, and she wasn't ready for that. When she would be ready, she didn't know, but it definitely wasn't tonight. Sidling up next to him at the sink, she made another effort to keep him around.
Brand?
He looked down at her, watching her rinse the dishcloth. Something on your mind, Sahara? So many things. If she told him she was nervous, that she didn't want to be alone, he'd stay. Unfortunately, she couldn't bring herself to utter the words. They'd make her feel weak, and worse, they'd make her look weak.
Would you like to see the rest of the house?
I was going to ask.
You were?
Well, damn it, if she'd just waited. This place is so huge, how do you know everything is still locked up?
Good security system.
She rethought that real fast and added,
But it can't hurt to check, right?
After drying her hands, she gestured,
This way.
As they went around the interior, she tried to take her time, showing off artwork and things her brother had specifically chosen. But Bran seemed more interested in the security system and the keyless locks on the doors.
Everything is well lit,
she pointed out, after they'd gone through the library, two studies, a gallery, a guest room, kitchen, dining and breakfast area, a formal living room, and a cozier entertaining room. What's through here? He asked, poking his head into a suite of rooms.
Technically, those are service quarters. My brother used to keep a full staff around.
She shrugged.
I prefer my privacy, so now that I live here, I just have a cleaning crew that comes by once a week.
He gave her a funny look, then took the lead going downstairs. Where's your bedroom?
My rooms are upstairs.
You use more than one bedroom?
Well, there's my bedroom, my changing room, sitting room, bathroom.
Got it.
Did he think she was bragging? Yes, wealth was something she'd taken for granted, but it wasn't something she had to have to be happy. Because she wasn't afraid to work, she couldn't see herself as a pauper, but neither was she a snob who needed so much luxury.
You know the house belonged to my brother, right?
Yeah. Brand got to the bottom of the stairs and headed straight to the back of the main room to the large double doors that opened into the backyard. You ever think of selling it? Appalled by that idea, she scowled at him.
Of course not.
He glanced at her.
I would never willingly part with anything of Scott's.
Nodding, he turned back to double-check the locks, examining them in detail.
Justice cleared these as secure?
He did.
Justice had stayed with her before as her personal bodyguard, using rooms on the main floor. Out of all of them, Justice had a special knack for understanding alarms and the best way to wire a system. Moving on to a window, Brand kept his back to her. Lee said that he's stayed here, too.
Yes.
Once. When necessary, Lise and Catalina had used the rooms in the basement. Brand went to the right, and she followed.
Most of that area is used for storage. There are no windows, so no way for anyone to break in.
He did a cursory glance through each room anyway, before backtracking and going to the far left, where a pool table and other games filled a large section. Watching him prowl around did funny things to Sahara, making her think of things she never had before. Like how nice it'd be if she weren't alone. Trying to summon up some of her notorious poise, she opened the guest bedroom.
This is the room Lise and Catalina used. There's an attached full bath, a sitting room with a PC, and a bar with a sink and microwave.
All the comforts of home. She inhaled, worked up her best I'm-in-charge smile, and said,
Does that mean you'd like to stay for a visit?
I'm definitely staying. Crazy reactions happened inside her. Elation. Uncertainty. Lust. Having Brand in her bed would go a long way toward helping her forget the horrible day and night. She licked her lips, trying to decide what to say next, then decided to hell with it and asked,
You want to stay down here? Because, Brand, it's awfully far away.
Exactly. Too far away. He approached, his dark gaze assessing her, making her think she might get another kiss, or more. He only took her hand. Let me see your rooms. That sounded like a euphemism to her. And in her mind, she gave a mental fist pump into the air. Finally, Brand was giving in. Once she got him in a room, nature could take its course. Going for serene confidence instead of triumph, she said,
Sure.
And got them on their way. Racing would be too obvious, so she forced herself to a measured stride. It wasn't easy. Brand dwarfed her with his size, and she thrilled at the contrast, her thoughts jumping ahead to how his weight would feel over her, the heat of his skin, and all those delicious muscles.
You're quiet? She cleared her throat.
Just thinking. And getting myself turned on,
she thought. The staircase was wide enough for them to go up together, still hand in hand, back through the house, and then to the double staircase that split her large foyer and led upstairs. She picked up her manufactured shank from the bottom step, holding it in her free hand. Looking toward her discarded shoes in the entry, she decided to leave them rather than release Brand. She could get the shoes tomorrow. She smiled at him and started up, her heart already galloping in anticipation. They were on the third step when he said, I can use the rooms Justice had. That's only one floor below you. Sahara froze. It took her brain a second to compute what she'd just heard. Rejection again. Damn it, when would she learn? Maybe it was the build-up, thinking he'd finally be hers. But she rounded on him in the grip of unreasonable anger.
You want to sleep on a separate floor?
He stared down at her. It's not about what I want, Sahara, it's about what makes sense. Disappointed, infuriated, despondent, damn him, she tried to snatch her hand away.
Great idea.
The blasted man held on. She stopped tugging and through her teeth said,
Let go.
His thumb rubbed over her knuckles. Sahara, on the verge of losing it, and knowing she couldn't do that in front of him, she hissed,
Let me go right now. I don't need you to inspect my rooms. They're fine. The house is fine. I'm fine.
Liar. But her personal turmoil was no longer any of his business.
The security is the best money can buy, so I don't really need anything at all. Since it'll be morning soon, you should probably just go home.
Mortified that her voice broke there at the end, she spun around and dashed up the steps, her shank swinging at her side. Be careful, he yelled. If you fall, you're gonna stab yourself.
Go to hell!
She reached the landing at the top of the stairs and, still running, went to the left, farther down an unlit hallway, and then right through the open door to her bedroom. She slammed the door shut and locked it, sealing herself into the dark interior. She rested her forehead against the cool wood. Emotions welled up, too many of them to count, too varied to define a single one. Things she didn't want to feel bombarded her. She left the lights off. A large mirror hung behind her dresser, another full-length mirror beside it. Not only did she refuse to let Brand witness her pathetic upset, she didn't want to see it either. Breathing hard, fighting off idiotic tears, she made her way to her bed by rote and sat down with her blade across her lap.
Stupid,
she mumbled to herself.
So stupid.
A second before she heard the sound, she sensed the movement behind her. All the air whooshed out of her lungs. She leaped off the bed and swung the dagger at the same time, colliding with jarring impact against something solid. Jesus, Sahara! Oh, dear God. She knew that voice and it terrified her.
Don't you dare move,
she threatened, keeping her tone strong despite her terror.
I'll cut your head off, I swear I will.
To the side of her, in the darkness, her kidnapper asked, Will you now?
Yes.
She quickly rolled over and off the bed away from him, sweeping out with the blade as she did so, thinking she'd feel a hard hand grab her wrist or ankle at any moment, and then what would she do? Panic raced through her until her feet were again on the floor. No one touched her. Slowly, as silently as possible, she backed up until her shoulder blades touched the door frame next to her dressing room. The door was open, when she always kept it closed. A cool evening breeze wafted in around her.
Had he somehow come in through the window? What if he'd brought the other men with him?
They could all six be in her room with her. She wouldn't stand a chance. Why had she so stubbornly insisted on coming home? And what the hell had happened to her security system? Eyes wide, she tried to see through the darkness. She might bump into one of them any second now. No, she told herself.
Stay calm. Keep your head and think.
She couldn't count on Brand hearing her, not from a floor away. If he had even stayed after she'd ordered him to go.
Please,
she silently prayed.
Please, Brand, still be here.
She needed a way to gain the upper hand. If she knocked over something, a lamp or a chair, perhaps Brand would hear it. But what if he didn't? She'd be giving away her position. She needed to see the bastard, to know where he was. An idea occurred to her. Holding the blade tight in her right fist, she used her left to feel for the light switch just inside the dressing room. It clicked on, silently. Since the room was behind her, the sudden bright light didn't blind her. Her intruder wasn't so lucky. The glare hit his face and he flinched, lifting an arm. He stood only a few feet from her. She'd known his voice, and now she recognized his size, but it was the first time she'd seen him without the disguise. Big, with sandy brown hair and those light blue eyes, some might call him handsome, but the aura of menace chilled her blood. Sahara struck out and he ducked, reaching for her at the same time. The blade cut into his arm, slicing just below his elbow, making him retreat. She quickly sidestepped and, taking an aggressive stance with the blade lifted at an angle over her shoulder, she threatened,
Reach for me again and you'll lose the arm!
With that flimsy thing?
That's not my blood ruining the area rug.
Looking down, he saw the trail of red and, amazingly enough, moved to stand on the hardwood instead. Closing a hand over the wound to try to stanch the drip, he assessed her.
You made that from the heater, didn't you?
Yes.
And you brought it to your bedroom.
Good thing,
she thought, but said only,
I've grown fond of it.
His mouth didn't move, yet she could almost swear he was amused. The last thing she'd wanted to do was entertain him. Those blue eyes she already knew so well stared into hers.
Next time I get you, and Sahara, I will get you. I'll remember just how ingenious you are.
Back to the threat of tying her down naked?
Not happening, Buster. Why?
Surprise lifted his brows.
Why what?
Why will you get me again?
She backed up another step, resisting the urge to search the rest of the room for the others. She had a gut feeling he'd come alone.
If you want money, I'll pay you. Just tell me what you know about my brother.
This time he smiled openly, and it was scary mean.
You want to know about Scott? Sure. He's not the saint you paint him to be.
No, not a saint,
she agreed.
But he is an amazing brother.
She hitched her chin.
What did you do for him that he'd owe you money?
A job, and he double-crossed us.
Doesn't sound like him.
Sounds exactly like him, he insisted, then added, the bastard.
Sahara growled and hefted the blade high.
Insult him again and I'll gut you from neck to groin.
Awe held him captive. You'd actually try, wouldn't you?
There'd be no try about it.
His now familiar gaze slowly touched all over her, from her tumbled hair down to her bare feet, then back up to meet her eyes.
You're magnificent, he breathed. I hope you know that.
His twisted admiration frightened her even more. She was debating what to do, how to get out of this conundrum, when a knock sounded on the door.
Sahara?
Brand. She'd forgotten all about him, and now, during her moment of distraction, the big bruiser shot in and grabbed her around the waist, taking her down to the bed in one hard dive. He immediately pinned her wrists to the bed, stared into her eyes a split second, then swooped down and ground his mouth against hers. What was he doing? Brand was right outside the door, and he wanted to kiss her? She struggled to twist her face away, but the pressure was so hard she couldn't maneuver. Instead, without a single thought for the consequences, Sahara sank her teeth into his lip. He reared back, and she yelled,
Brand!
Something hard hit the door, splintering wood. The big man hastily rose with his fingertips touched to his bleeding lip.
You need some discipline, and I'll be happy to give it to you, he smiled. See you soon, Sahara.
It took her a second to realize she could again grab her blade, but he'd already gone back through her dressing room and presumably out the window. Not that she'd check. She had no intention of facing him alone again. Another loud crack brought her back to her senses. Oh, Lord, Brand was about to destroy her door.
Brand, wait!
Shaking all over, she raced over, saying,
Let me unlock it.
Do it now!
The second she unclicked the lock, Brand charged in so hard and fast that the door bounced off the wall. His gaze swept the room and, seeing nothing, he stalked into the closet, the bathroom, and finally the dressing room. Inching up behind him, Sahara said,
I guess he managed to come in through the window.
He?
Brand searched the large room as he went through it, but it was obviously empty.
Who are we talking about here, Sahara?
15 feet square, with one wall of windows, blinds up and mirrors on the other walls, there wasn't any place for someone to hide.
The bastard who kidnapped me.
You're sure?
A makeup vanity sat before the open window, now pushed askew, her plush white chair on its side, some of her makeup spilled to the floor.
Yes,
she whispered.
I'm sure.
Hands braced on the sill, Brand leaned to look out the window.
Other than the screen on the ground there, I can't see shit.
The lights are out?
No, but he must have already reached the shadows.
She held the weapon tighter.
How did he get in, anyway?
Brand rubbed the back of his neck.
My guess is he climbed that tree, but was the window locked?
Yes, it always is, and there are alarms.
He turned on her. We have to call the police.
She wrapped her arms around herself.
You know I can't do that.
He reached her, in three long strides, his hands clasping her shoulders. He started to say something, then his eyes narrowed.
Your mouth is bleeding.
What?
She reached up, then remembered and, after tossing the dagger to the bed, stalked away to the bathroom.
Not my blood. When he kissed me, I nearly bit through his lip.
Brand stiffened.
He kissed you?
When she shuddered, he softened his voice.
Sahara,
Revulsion had her racing to her bathroom. At the pretty pedestal sink, she turned on the hot water and quickly rinsed her mouth, then loaded her toothbrush with toothpaste and scrubbed. To have wanted Bran so badly, then have that animal assault her. Hey! Brand closed his hand over hers. It's okay, babe.
I'm not your babe.
She spat and rinsed, then rinsed again and, feeling the need to flee, tossed aside the toothbrush.
You,
she accused, pushing past him,
didn't want any part of it.
It? He asked, rinsing her brush and shutting off the water before following close behind.
Me.
She gestured up and down her body, still moving away.
Don't pretend now that you...
He caught her arm and spun her around so fast she slammed up against his broad chest. Though his expression looked fierce, he spoke gently.
Shh, please.
Incredulous, she snarled.
You expect me?
I'm so damn sorry. He sounded agonized. You shouldn't have been alone. Sahara wanted to throw up her hands, but Brand held her upper arms, making that impossible.
So help me, Brand, if you feel guilty because someone was in here instead of feeling guilty because you rejected me, I might just use my shank on you.
He kissed her forehead. I don't feel guilty, he whispered. I'm fucking furious. Oh, he didn't really sound furious, though, until he spoke again. I want to kill that bastard for daring to touch you. I want to kick my own ass for letting you run off like that when I should have checked this room. I finally realized that, but I was too late.
You showed up in the nick of time,
she reminded him. As if she hadn't spoken, he growled, I'm especially pissed that I needed to stay with you instead of going after him.
Going after him? What would you have done, climb down the tree?
Yes, and probably a lot faster than he managed it. Refusing to take blame for holding him back, she tried to shove away.
Hey, I never told you not to...
He gave her a shake, interrupting her angry outburst. And don't ever accuse me of not wanting you. You're smart enough to know that's bullshit. I always want you. Okay, now he both looked and sounded enraged, but then she wasn't exactly composed herself. He'd said so much there, Sahara wasn't sure where to start. She tackled the easiest part first.
I won't let you kill him. I need him to answer questions for me.
His jaw loosened, then clenched tight. You can't be serious. She wasn't done.
And in case you're confused on the matter, you don't let me do anything. I came upstairs because I wanted to. It was never your choice to make. I was pissed, and I made a decision. Turns out it was the wrong one.
She had to admit.
Coming home at all was apparently wrong, but that's on me, not you.
Staring up at the ceiling, Brand appeared to count to 10. Far as she was concerned, he could count to 1,000, and it wouldn't change anything.
What do you mean you want me?
His jaw flexed. Poking him in the chest, she asked,
Why the hell would you turn me down, tonight of all nights, if you're as interested as I am?
A little more time passed before he got around to answering.
We need to prioritize, okay? I have to let the guys know what happened. You have blood on your floor.
I cut him when he tried to get grabby.
Brand gave a low groan, landed a quick kiss on her mouth and continued, Plus, we have to leave here. Somehow he got past your touted security, so no way are we staying.
Agreed.
She eyed the blood on the floor with distaste.
I think he ruined my rug, but it should clean off the hardwood.
She frowned.
I've never dealt with blood on hardwood before, so I'm not certain.
I'll clean it.
His hands kneaded her shoulders. Do you want to change clothes before we leave? She had blood on her shirt.
Yes.
He stared into her eyes. Do you need any help?
Did you want to have sex?
Taken aback, he asked, Now? Sahara pushed free of his hold.
If you're helping me change clothes, then you're damn right now.
His chest expanded on a deep breath. I was asking if you were too shaken.
I'm not.
Why she took her fury out on Brand, she couldn't say. She only knew she wouldn't be whiny again. Anger was preferable to that.
Give me 5 minutes.
Not about to enter the dressing room, she went into her closet and closed the door to change in private. She heard Brand say, Take all the time you need, honey, in a very understanding way. Damn him. Not since Scott's disappearance had anyone treated her with kid gloves. If Brand didn't stop, she'd end up crying after all. And then he'd really feel the brunt of her anger. Chapter 6 It was the first time Brand had ever seen Sahara really dressed down, and he could barely look away. Somehow, the faded skinny jeans and soft blue sweatshirt made her more beautiful, and even sexier. By the time she'd stepped out of the closet, he'd almost finished cleaning the blood. Because she'd said she'd do it herself, he'd waited for her protests. She'd surprised him with the mere sound of frustration before marching into the bathroom and closing that door as much as she had the closet door, shutting him out. He deserved it after he'd screwed up so badly, not only by hurting her feelings, but by failing to ensure her safety. Sometimes he forgot she had feelings. She could be so mercenary in her efforts. Maybe if she'd acted a little more upset over her abduction and been a little less on the make, he could have kept his priorities straight. When next she'd emerged, it was without her makeup and with her hair loosely braided. He'd been struggling with a powerful surge of lust ever since. While Justice, Miles, and Lise investigated different areas of the break-in and assault, Brand kept his eyes on Sahara. It bothered him that she'd gotten so quiet, sitting alone on the steps, her thoughts hidden. The urge to promise her everything kept his focus unwavering. Part of it, he knew, was his inner caveman getting to play dangerous games of rescue. He understood now why his friends liked this security shit so much. For an alpha male, it fed a very basic instinct. A larger part, though, was Sahara herself. Being with her kept him on his toes, and in the normal course of things, she gave as good as she got. Today had not been normal, and seeing this softer, more susceptible side of her only made her more appealing. She wasn't the in-control business shark as much as a woman who needed and appreciated his help. The various facets to her personality fascinated him. He admired her strength and was drawn to her softness. Taking care of someone else hadn't been on his agenda. Hell, he'd been struggling with unexpected responsibilities already. With Sahara, it was different because she was different. He relished the chance to care for her. Brand was just about to join her on the stairs when Justice returned from his investigation of the security panel. Could the kidnapper have known Scott well enough to know your passcode? On the bottom step of the right staircase, her arms around her knees, Sahara shrugged.
I don't think Scott would have given these codes to anyone, but I can't say for sure. Why?
Brand considered sitting with her, but she'd been giving him don't-touch vibes ever since the attack. You think that's how he got in? Lise, who just stepped in after searching the yard, said, He might have used the tree to leave, but I don't think he climbed to get in. That first branch is too high to reach, even with the jump, and the tree is too wide to shimmy up. Sahara snickered.
How do you know? Did you try it?
Lise had no qualms about sitting with her. In fact, he took the step above her, then put a hand on her shoulder. Miles leaned against the newel post next to her.
Climbing out of your window to the tree and jumping down from the last branch wouldn't have been too hard, but I agree with Lise. He got in another way.
Justice nodded. I'm thinking he came in right through the front door and then reset the alarm system. When you didn't show up alone, he hid and it paid off. He said the last as an accusation aimed at Brand. Brand started to reply, but Sahara beat him to it.
Brand doesn't work for me, and he hasn't had the same training as you three.
She shook her head.
No, this is on me. I'm the one who insisted on coming here.
He should have gone upstairs with you, Justice stated.
Sahara lifted a brow.
Once I made up my mind to go upstairs alone, do you honestly think he could have stopped me?
Not as abrasive as Justice, Miles said.
Stopped you? No. That'd be like trying to stop a stampede. But he still should have gone up with you and checked the room first.
This time, Brand cut off Sahara before she could reply.
I agree. He knew he'd fucked up. Believe me, it won't happen again.
Snapping her head around to glare at him, Sahara reiterated,
You do not work for me.
He held up a hand.
So, we think the guy got in the front door. That has to mean he has the codes.
Keeping in mind her desire to withhold her personal background, he said, Sahara told me about another case where a guy who had installed the system had everything he needed to break in.
That was different, she said. Scott changed the passcode after the installation.
And with that, she shoved to her feet and sashayed off into the kitchen. Brand watched her go, specifically the sway of her perfect ass and the snug-fitting jeans. Damn, the lady had a body that looked great no matter what she wore. And if he ever got to see her naked... With conflicted thoughts, he turned back around and caught all three of his friends staring at him with varying degrees of interest. Was he supposed to do a trick? Irate, he asked. What? Steely-eyed, Lise asked, Are you working for her or not? He was still struggling with that decision. Probably not. Make up your mind already, Justice said, heading off to join his boss. Or hit the road. She doesn't need indecision on this. Brand wouldn't allow anyone to push him away from Sahara. Not happening. Justice pivoted with a frown. Let it go, Miles said to Justice. As the only one of his friends who knew why Brand might leave MMA, Miles probably had more patience to wait for his final decision. When Justice subsided, Miles lifted a brow at Brand, asking, You two involved? Define involved. Drawn to each other? Definitely. Constantly butting heads? All the time. Smothering in sexual chemistry? God, yes. Brand shook his head. Not yet sure about that either. None of them would accept that, so he went on without pause. But I do know she shouldn't be alone. I'll be with her, Justice said. You just go on home and figure out your life or something. He strode away from the kitchen. Brand stared after him. He could understand Justice's confusion since he didn't know all the facts, but he'd only put up with so much before he'd lose his temper. Why the hell is he so pissy about this? He hasn't shaken off his stint as her personal protection. Lise, too, started for the kitchen. I've no idea why you're even thinking about leaving MMA, but I suggest you make up your mind. Just know that if you stay, it's a commitment until this is wrapped up. No waffling in and out. I don't waffle, damn it. With a roll of his eyes, Lise disappeared into the kitchen. Miles waited to chime in until there was only the two of them. You have some tough choices ahead with the SBC and your fight career, I know that. The thing is, you can't be part of the setup, then just bail if things here aren't yet resolved. No one is going to accept that, least of all Sahara. Then Miles left him too. Sahara was like the Pied Piper. Where she went, the others followed. Alone in the foyer, Brand grumbled and looked at the door, but he knew he wasn't going anywhere. His friends were right. It was past time he made a decision. A lot depended on Sahara. Talking to her, gauging her reaction, was key. He couldn't do that if he walked away now. If he stayed, if he insisted on being the one to protect her, they'd have ample time to talk it out. Ample time for other things as well, and that was a concern. He could keep it together, but he had a feeling that dissuading Sahara would take all his wits, and then some. After a deep breath, he joined the others. He expected to find Sahara devouring more cookies, but instead she stood by herself at the window facing the side yard, watching the sunrise. As if she'd only been waiting on him, she faced them all, offered up a wan smile, and said with her usual sass,
If you boys are done playing, I need to get to the office.
No one else seemed surprised by that except Brand. You're going in today? He asked with disbelief. Sahara gave all her attention to her employees. Justice said, I'll hang around and reprogram your codes. She nodded.
Thank you.
And I'm gonna call your landscaper to get that tree trimmed, Miles said. Then I'll do a general inspection to see if there are any other weaknesses.
I appreciate that.
I'll go to the office with you. Lise leaned back against the counter. You saw him this time, right? That means we have some work to do.
Sahara nodded.
I could use your help as I go through all of Scott's old associates to see if I recognize him among them.
Irritated with them all, Brand said to Lise, She needs to sleep. And then to Miles and Justice, She can't stay here even if you do get things buttoned up. The bastard got in once, so he might be able to get in again. She gave him a long look.
Shouldn't you be training for a fight?
It's months away.
And despite what he'd told her, he didn't yet know if he'd be fighting. He had a lot of conflicts to iron out.
Ah.
Saying nothing more, Sahara paced away from the window. Brand blocked her.
I think you should stay with me.
She blinked at him.
With you?
Yes. Justice coughed. Miles laughed. Showing some sense, Lise shuffled everyone out of the room. Soon as they were alone, Brand moved in closer to her. Seeing the exhaustion, the wariness and her confusion, he cupped his hand to her face and gently repeated, Stay with me. She drew in and released a slow breath. After glancing toward the doorway where the others had left, she whispered,
I'm only a little shaken, but I...
Shh. He brushed his thumb over her soft, full lips, and then he replaced it with his mouth. He'd meant to indulge in a single peck, a way to let her know that she didn't have to explain to him, and then he'd get her agreement. But Sahara never did anything half-measure. With a small, hungry sound, she fit her slim body to his, sliding her hands up his chest to his shoulders and then to his neck. That's all it took. Brand gathered her closer, his arms around her, his head tilted to the side so he could deepen the kiss, explore her mouth with his tongue, coax her tongue into his mouth. Ahem! Shit. It took him a second to get a grip, then he turned so his back was to Justice, effectively hiding Sahara. We'll join you in a second, Justice. Only a second, huh? Looked more involved than that to me. Maybe I should start calling you Speedy. Justice, he warned. I wasn't gone that long. You two must have really jumped into it, huh? Sahara, being unlike other women, laughed. No embarrassment for her. Peeking around Brand, she said,
You're hilarious, Justice.
He has his moments, Brand agreed. Unfortunately, this wasn't one of them. Yeah, well, I'm sorry to interrupt, he eyed Brand. Sort of. Thing is, we all agreed that you should leave at the same time as Lee, so is that going to be any time soon?
Yes, very soon,
Sahara promised.
While I get changed, would you please call Enoch and ask him to have my brother's suite at the agency cleaned out and prepped? He knows my eating habits, so I'd like for him to arrange groceries as well.
Brand had no idea what she was up to now. Why would you?
It makes perfect sense for me to stay there,
she said in a rush before he could even finish his question.
But I'd rather not deal with the memories right now.
I'll take care of it, Justice promised her.
Scott's belongings should be put in storage, but the women's stuff can be donated somewhere.
In dismissal, she added sweetly,
Thank you, Justice.
Sure thing. Cell phone, already out to call Enoch, Justice exited the kitchen. Brand couldn't hold back the amazement he felt. Nothing rattles you, does it? She hadn't been in the kitchen worrying, as he'd thought. Not Sahara. No, she'd taken some quiet time to plot her next step. He couldn't imagine anyone ever taking her off guard.
I'm the woman who raced upstairs in a fury, if you'll recall. I was plenty rattled.
Actually, she'd raced away so he wouldn't see her upset, and he felt guilty as hell about it. He knew he'd hurt her feelings when that had never been his intent. Rattled, huh? Giving her the excuse, he smoothed his hand along her thick braid. I'm surprised you'd admit it. She faked a stern frown to go with her dire warning.
Ever repeat it, and we'll have a problem.
Your secrets are safe with me. Still kidding around, she flared her eyes wide.
Wow, what a promise. How do you know I won't unload on you?
You could, he said with sincerity. I wouldn't mind. She patted his chest.
Yes, well, I refuse to be a wimp, so don't hold your breath.
Covering her hand with his, Brand said, You can trust me, Sahara. If she'd rather stay at the agency suite, fine, but he'd figure out a way to stay with her.
Trust you to make me nuts,
she muttered. Sahara,
I need to change for the office and pack some things for my stay in the suite. Are you still playing guard, dog?
I am, except that he wasn't playing.
Excellent.
Putting her small, soft hand in his, her grip firm, Sahara led him out of the kitchen and toward the stairs. To Lise, she said,
I'll be ready to go in 10 minutes.
Hey, Speedy, Justice called after him. Vexed, Brand glanced back. Protect her this time. Brand flipped him off, but then also gave a nod. He'd protect her, all right. Today, tonight, and for the foreseeable future. Brand left after she and Lise were in the offices. Sahara wasn't sure what to think about that, but she pretended to think nothing at all. In front of everyone, he'd kissed her forehead, told her he'd see her again soon, then just walked away. Soon could be later in the afternoon, later in the week, or at the end of the month. She just didn't know. Should she have accepted his offer to stay with him? No, that would smack of being needy, which would undermine her authority in a big way. She could have invited him to stay with her instead, but again, needy. The thought of spending the night alone in her big house had given her chills. Unfortunately, the idea of being alone in the suite wasn't much better. At least she knew the agency was protected. No one could get past the 24/7 security. Except people once had. They'd shot her guard, grabbed Enoch and nearly killed him, then gotten to the suite where they'd attacked Lise and Catalina. At the time, Catalina wasn't yet Lise's wife, but they were already well on their way to being more than a client and her bodyguard. Thank God Lise was a lethal, highly trained machine who'd made the attackers regret the decision to intrude. It'd be best to put that horrid breach in security from her mind. Since then, they'd tightened up all entry points. She'd be fine. She believed it, so she just had to find something else to occupy her mind. Given that she was anxious to dig into the files of her brother's known associates, she had plenty of distractions at hand. She was at her desk, coffee beside one elbow, the shiv she'd made at the other, painstakingly going through each file and cross-referencing them with any photos she could find, when Enoch opened her door.
"He's back,"
Sahara straightened. For one startling second, she thought Enoch meant her kidnapper. Then she caught his smile and, clearing her throat, asked,
"Who?"
Sliding into the room and closing the door behind him, Enoch said,
"Brand Barry."
"Oh."
Sooner than she'd expected.
"I thought he'd left for the day. Apparently not."
Enoch's smile turned knowing.
"Care to share?"
"Actually..." She hopped up from her chair and skirted her desk.
"What do you think of him?"
Without hesitation, Enoch said,
"Big, capable, confident."
All true. Sahara added,
"Plus smart, attentive, motivated."
Enoch nodded.
"The emotional in a nice physical package equals just what you need."
That gave her pause.
"You think I need someone?"
"Sahara,"
he chastised.
"You know you've been one of my favorite people for a very long time."
"Ditto."
She and Enoch had met prior to her brother's disappearance, and they'd immediately hit it off. She'd leaned on him after Scott came up missing, and when she inherited the agency shortly after that, she'd asked him to be her assistant. Best decision she'd ever made, and that was saying something because she didn't make bad decisions. She'd grown body armor, shifted the focus, given it more clout, more sex appeal, and through every change, big and small, Enoch was there helping her to make it a seamless transition.
"You're also one of the strongest people I've ever known, more independent even than Scott."
"Really?"
Crazy how much that flattered her.
"Once Scott made the business successful, he went about enjoying that success."
He said that like an accusation.
"I enjoy the success." "No, you always push for more, and that's fine. Your single-minded drive is a big part of who you are, but you shouldn't forever go it alone."
"I have you."
"Always,"
he vowed.
"But you should have more than just a friend. I want to see you loosen up a little, live a little."
He softened his voice.
"Share yourself."
Enoch made it all sound perfectly normal, not at all needy.
"You know why I don't date. That was a long time ago."
She nodded. Sometimes it felt like a lifetime had passed since the last guy tried to charm his way into the family finances.
"Scott always weeded out the users, the men only after my wealth, but now, how can I tell what a man really wants?"
"Oh, please."
Disgruntled, Enoch frowned at her.
"I respected Scott a lot, you know that. But he was sometimes wrong, especially when he assumed anyone attracted to you was only after your money."
It didn't happen every time, just often enough that she stopped trusting herself. She'd been born into money and was left a healthy inheritance that Scott had expanded exponentially. Money had never been one of her worries, except when it came to knowing which was the bigger draw, her or her wealth.
"I am filthy rich, and that's a powerful lure for a lot of people. You think the money is so important that a man can't really see you?"
"Ugh," he scoffed.
"Have you looked in a mirror lately?
Trust me, any guy with blood pumping through his veins sees you. And even if he's not interested in, romance, he's bound to admire you, respect you, and like me?"
She often wondered. It was one of the things she appreciated most about the fighters she'd hired, as well as their close friends. They were friendly to her, but so down-to-earth, capable and self-sufficient. Thoughts of benefiting from her wealth never entered their minds. If anything, they seemed to forget she had money and influence. Enoch's scowl grew darker.
"Of course they like you. You're beautiful, witty, honorable, and, well..."
He flapped a hand.
"Apply all those accolades we already gave to Mr. Barry, because you have them as well."
"Not his strength."
With a snort, Enoch said,
"I'd match your cunning and determination to his physical strength any day, and that's the beauty of it. He's a good counterpart to your personality."
"I would like to know him better,"
she admitted.
"Only he won't let me hire him."
"Ha! If he worked here, he'd have grounds for sexual harassment charges in no time. You,"
he emphasized,
are as nuanced as a tsunami when you want something, or someone.
In most cases, she saw no reason for nuance. Propping a hip on the desk in her favorite position, Sahara idly swung one foot, her shoe dangling off her toes.
I guess that could be a problem, at least until he gives in.
Enoch shook his head in exasperation.
But if I can't hire him, then how should I...
Squaring his shoulders, Enoch said,
sleep with him.
That bald statement, coming from her circumspect and very proper assistant, caused a smile to tug at her mouth.
Sleep with him to get to know him? For you, it'd be the most expedient way.
Obviously, she wasn't averse to the idea, but to her friend instructing her,
Enoch, you're blushing.
In a low voice, he confided,
I feel like a pimp.
Sahara laughed.
Not a pimp, but as my best friend and an irreplaceable assistant, you, more than anyone, can advise me. Then, out of concern, let me say, be yourself with him. I'm always myself. Who else would I be?
He bent a stern look on her.
Sahara.
Mimicking him, she replied,
Enoch.
He rolled his eyes.
You've taken the role of boss to heart.
You know, you don't always have to be the one in charge, the strong one. Sometimes it's nice to delegate, or even to lean on someone else.
No, she didn't want to do any leaning.
I delegate to you all the time. That's not what I mean, and you know it. Fine, I promise I'll try to be myself.
Feeling impulsive, she gave Enoch a hug. He was smaller than her, and in no way resembled the ripped fighters she'd hired as bodyguards to ramp up the agency's sex appeal. But he didn't need physical stature to be one of the finest people she'd ever known. While they were involved in this mutual exchange of respect and admiration, she pressed him back and asked,
How's Tina?
Surprise blanked his expression.
You know about her? My number one guy starts a torrid affair and you think I'd miss it?
He sighed.
It is rather torrid.
Delighted for him, Sahara grinned. She'd always known of Enoch's keen intelligence and aptitude for organization, but in the last year she'd discovered new depth to her friend. His loyalty to her, to all innocence, had enabled him to endure terrible abuse, to the point that the thug who'd taken him thought he had choked Enoch to death. Thank God Enoch had hung on. Remembering that awful time and how close she'd come to losing someone else she loved weakened her composure. Her throat felt thick, and her eyes got blurry, squeezing him tighter. Sahara said,
She's a lucky woman.
He patted her back, and since he always saw her through, asked,
Are you sure you're okay?
Sahara nodded and concentrated on not letting the tears fall.
Yes, thank you.
Proving his value, Enoch didn't press her.
You're welcome. If you need anything, please let me know.
He'd been more attentive all morning, constantly checking in on her without actually hovering. He'd even brought her an iced and decorated donut with her coffee.
You're the best, Enoch. I'll look for proof of that in my next raise.
After winking, he opened the door and announced,
She'll see you now, Mr. Barry.
On his way in, Brand said, You really have to quit calling me that. It makes me feel like I should be in a suit or something.
Enoch laughed.
All right, I'll drop the formality.
He leaned close to Brand and said sotto voce,
Take care of her.
I plan to.
Exasperated, Sahara said,
I don't need anyone to...
The door shut before she could finish her protest.
I swear he does that on purpose.
Brand was smiling when he turned to her, but the smile slipped.
Hey, you okay?
She devoured him with her gaze. He looked freshly showered and shaved, and he changed into another pair of jeans, this time with a black Henley that fit snug to his wide, hard shoulders, his solid chest, and then fell loose around his tapered waist and flat abs. Trying for a brisk tone, Sahara asked,
Why does everyone keep asking me that?
Maybe because you've been through hell, had your life threatened, got mauled by a lunatic, haven't had any sleep and possibly got false hope about your brother?
No, it wasn't false. She wouldn't believe that. Arms crossed, weight shifted to one hip, she countered,
Are you okay?
Me? Yeah, I'm fine. Why?
Well, let's see.
She propped her hip on her desk again and crossed her ankles in a negligent pose.
You went through nearly everything that I did. You also haven't had any sleep, and your friends are heckling you because I didn't play the good little girl and ask the big protective fighter to check my bedroom for danger.
Wearing a crooked smile, he approached.
That sounds like a private fantasy or something.
Perhaps, but I'll reserve it for someone who's willing to play.
The smile firmed into a straight line. He didn't stop until he had her shoulders clasped in his big hands, and she had her head tilted back so she could stare into his dark eyes.
I wanted to talk to you about that.
Her pulse jumped.
About playing?
Somewhat. His thumbs gently caressed her tensed muscles. I want to stay with you. In case he'd forgotten, she said,
I'm staying in the suite here.
I know.
And he still wanted to stay with her? When he'd left, she'd thought, but here he was, back again, and she so badly didn't want to be alone. Yet being with Brand and not touching him would be impossible, and despite her promise to Enoch, Brand didn't seem like a willing participant to his suggestion. When she didn't say anything, Brand asked, It's a regular living space?
Yes. Scott used it sometimes for entertaining, but mostly for convenience, especially when he had the house built, and then later when he wanted it remodeled. Lise and Catalina stayed there when she was first a client, and it wasn't safe to move her. It's on the top floor of the building, fully furnished and entirely secure.
Nodding, he said as if he expected her agreement,
I have my overnight bag in the car.
So he'd gone home, showered, changed, and packed. To be with her? Going for honesty, she admitted,
I would enjoy the company.
Great.
But I'm not sure it's a good idea.
You staying alone isn't a good idea. Me staying with you is the right thing to do.
So obligation motivated him, not interest? Damn the man for keeping her confused. She sidled away from him, her hands on her hips.
I don't see how it can be right when you only tease me.
He ran a frustrated hand over his head. Sahara? Abruptly, he changed his tone to sound more reasonable. Come on, honey. You know you didn't really want sex after just being kidnapped. She lifted a supercilious brow.
I wanted it then, and I want it now.
Brand hitched his chin with doubt.
Right now?
Well.
She looked back at her hard, massive desk, then at the small but softer sofa against the wall.
I mean, not exactly this second. I'm not sure my office is private enough for that.
New heat entered his eyes.
Your office would be plenty private enough, I promise.
That put all kinds of vivid sexual images into her mind. She took in a slow breath and nodded.
All right.
But,
Brand said with exaggerated patience, you haven't had any sleep. You've been through a shit ton of upset, and now you're worried about Scott again. Don't you think it'd be better to give yourself a chance to recoup?
No, not when she'd wanted him even before the kidnapping.
I'm always worried about Scott, and I'll stay worried until he's back home with me. I've never needed much sleep, and I'm already over what happened.
The last was a huge lie, but what she needed most was the unique closeness of intimacy. Enoch knew it, so why didn't Brand?
If you're still tired, a little traumatized maybe, you should definitely go home and rest up.
Brand shook his head.
You make rest up sound very wussified.
She gave a delicate shrug.
If the description fits.
He stepped closer, a new edge to his demeanor.
Do you always use insults to get your way?
Now that he pointed it out, she felt like a bully.
Usually only with you, and it still doesn't work.
She sighed.
I'm sorry.
My ego isn't that fragile, Sahara. You don't need to apologize. Throwing up her hands, she snapped.
Then I guess I should just give up.
She really hated that idea, but she hated throwing herself at him and being repeatedly rejected more. Indulgent, Brand said,
I'd rather you didn't.
Okay, hold up.
You've got more mixed signals than a virgin on prom night.
He grinned.
What I'd like you to do is recognize that you're a little off balance. That's why you're coming on even stronger than usual and using insults, am I right?
She gave a very grudging,
Maybe.
Allowing yourself some time to come to grips with everything isn't a bad thing. I promise it doesn't make you a wuss.
Are you coming to grips with it?
She waited for his denial. He surprised her by saying,
I think so. Even though I'm sure you'll be safe here, I know I want to stick closer to you, to see for myself that you're okay.
His admission gave her a small thrill.
That sounds awfully involved for someone who doesn't want involvement.
Never said I didn't want to be involved.
Then...
But there's a small problem, honey. See, you take the whole boss gig to heart even though I don't work for you. You need to learn to separate that once you leave the office.
Did she do that?
Yes, probably. You're a boss, he said. But that shouldn't define you. You're also a sister, a friend.
And a very sexy woman. He looked at her so intently, as if willing her to understand. Hanging on to that sexy woman compliment, she said,
I can try to separate things.
She had promised Enoch, after all.
It's just that I'm so good at being a boss.
And maybe not so great at the other things.
Ask anyone who works for me.
Maybe they say that because they do work for you. Let me remind you again. I don't.
He slid his hand up her throat, his long fingers curling around to her nape, and his thumb tilting up her chin. I'm also good at being the boss. Sudden insight sent her brows up. She had no qualms challenging him.
So this is about the big macho fighter being too insecure to take orders from a woman?
More insults? When she scowled, a dangerous smile curved his mouth. I'd say it's about you being afraid to be a woman. Absurd! She started to jerk away, but suddenly his other arm locked her to him. That didn't stop her from struggling. Can't bear to hear the truth, Sahara? Far as challenges went, he nailed it. She stopped levering away and instead thrust her face up close to his.
I'm not afraid of anything.
He chuckled at her bravado. Actually chuckled. Furious over his galling amusement, Sahara could think of only two ways to wipe away his humor. Her knee could land home in a very sobering way. The other option would be... she kissed him. Or more like she attacked his mouth. When he leaned back to avoid the assault, she followed. Her hands now fisted tight in his shirt, high against his collarbone. She nipped his bottom lip, sucked it into her mouth, licked over it, and then, sealing her lips to his, she explored the damp heat of his mouth. She loved the slick texture of his strong white teeth, his velvet tongue, and she especially loved the low growl he gave in reaction. Abruptly, he stopped retreating and instead adjusted his hold. The hand around her nape tipped her head farther back so he could take the lead. His other hand scooped down to her behind and pressed her against him, their bodies perfectly aligned for a tantalizing fit. It was a battle of wills, each of them trying to take control, until Brand backed her up so that her thighs bumped into her desk. Proving his strength, he scooped her up one-handed and sat her on the edge. Against her lips, he said, "Open your legs." Never one to give in easily, she asked,
"Why?"
"I want between them."
Okay. That sounded enticing. He still firmly clasped her nape, making it impossible for her to look away. He saw everything she felt, probably read in her eyes everything she considered. Just to throw him off, she smiled and slid her knees apart. Good. He pushed up the slim skirt she'd changed into, then widened her legs farther by stepping between them. The denim of his jeans felt rough against her inner thighs. So did the free hand he traveled up the inside of her knee. The sensation of his calloused fingertips firm on her sensitive flesh, along with the probing force of his dark brown gaze, made her eyes heavy. As if he knew it, he whispered, "Keep them open." To ensure he had her attention, he brushed his knuckles over the crotch of her silken panties. Like a bolt of lightning, the touch sizzled all along her nerve endings, making her gasp and bringing a flush to her skin. "So hot," he whispered, still idly stroking. "I'd like to make you wet, too." She was getting there pretty quickly already. When Enoch's voice came through the intercom, she jumped.
"Mr. Delamore is here, Miss Silver."
Brand slowly withdrew his hand and, with attention to detail, carefully straightened her hair, when she hadn't even realized it was must. "Mr. Delamore?" he asked, with more than idle curiosity.
"Prospective client."
Her voice trembled as surely as her limbs. Wishing it wasn't so, she explained,
"We had an appointment."
"Tell Enoch to give you 3 minutes."
Nodding, she started to stand, but Brand shook his head. "You can reach the intercom." Another challenge, and this one was harder to meet because she felt like warm gelatin. She reached out a hand for the intercom button, was still a few inches away, and ended up leaning back on an elbow, practically sprawled on her desk, with Brand standing between her legs, his hands holding her hips. Trying to steady her voice, she touched the button and replied, hopefully in her usual no-nonsense tone,
"Apologize for the delay, but I'll need 5 more minutes."
"Yes, ma'am."
The deference Enoch adopted for her clients usually struck her as funny, but not this time. When she started to rise, Brand leaned into her, balancing himself on his outstretched arms at either side of her shoulders. "I told you 3 minutes." Rather than fight the inevitable, she relaxed her spine and accepted that, in this instance, Brand had won.
"I'll need 2 extra to recover."
His attention was focused on her mouth. "One more kiss, then,"